Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Tomorrow, and I know we're going to head to the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, but before we do that, tomorrow is the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. And why am I mentioning that in particular? Because Pope Francis declared just a couple of weeks ago, he called it the title was given a feast day upgrade, that St. Mary Magdalene, her feast day, instead of being a memorial, which is kind of the lowest level, he's actually declared it a feast day, so that Mary Magdalene, because she had the honor to be the first witness of the Lord's resurrection. And Pope Francis thinks it's right that the liturgical celebration of this woman should have the same rank of feast as that given to the celebration of the apostles in the general Roman calendar. And the decree was dated June 3rd. It was published in Latin. It was signed by both Archbishop Roach and the congregation's president, Cardinal Robert Sara, whose book I think I've encouraged you to read, God or Nothing. Cardinal Sara signed this publication as well. Mary Magdalene can be seen as the paradigm of the ministry of women in the church. And so St. Mary Magdalene's feast, which is tomorrow, is now actually a feast. And if you take a look, go online and just go to the National Catholic Register, National Catholic Register website, and you can read a little more about it, St. Mary Magdalene. So I just wanted to say that so that you can be part of those who honor her tomorrow, because God honored her by making her the first witness, in a sense, of the resurrection. We look ahead now to the readings for this Sunday, which is the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first reading that we have for this Sunday is from the book of Genesis. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grave, that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." Sodom and Gomorrah were sin-ridden areas of the world. They were filled with sin, nothing but sin. And the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah was so great, and their sin so grave, that God himself said, "I must go and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." It continues now, this passage from the book of Genesis. "So while Abraham's visitors walked on farther towards Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. And then Abraham drew nearer and said, 'Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice?'" You see Abraham's relationship with God. He can ask him. He's not challenging him. He's just clearly asking him. "You don't want to treat the guilty and the innocent alike? How will you do this?" And the Lord replied, "If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham spoke up again, "See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people?" Do you see how Abraham's interceding? How he's pleading on behalf of the people? "What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." But Abraham persisted, saying, "What if only 4 found there?" And he replied, "I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. And then Abraham said, "Let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there?" And he replied, I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there. Still Abraham went on. Think of the boldness of Abraham. Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? And the Lord answered, I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But he still persisted, please, let not my Lord grow angry with me if I speak up this last time. What if there are at least 10? And he replied, for the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it. Do you see the range of the mercy of God, that when we intercede, when we plead, that God hears us? Abraham, particularly because of his relationship with God, was able to really plead him down to, if he found 10 righteous people, he wouldn't destroy the city. How much do you plead with God for the sake of those you love? How often do you pray? How confident are you that God hears you? Cry out to God. Psalms say, cry out full-throated and unsparingly. Cry out to God. Ask for help. Psalm 138, Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. It's a beautiful Psalm 138. Read it, ponder it, pay attention to it. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. Cry out to God with the Psalms for those you love, for the needs you have. Cry out. God listens. In Paul to the Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. Brothers and sisters, your sin and mine and the sins of our ancestors deserve damnation. Many of us. But God, in his mercy, cries out to us, come to me. Come to me with your sins. Come to me with your anguish, and I will free you. I will forgive you. I will heal you. I will restore you. But so many of us, mired in sin, no longer even turn to God, no longer even acknowledge his existence. And I want to say to all of us, and many of us are mired in sin, hear the Lord. Hear his plea. Come back to me. Come to me with your sins. I will forgive. I will restore. And those of you who are living in holiness, yes, of course we sin. But basically our life is on the right track. Cry out to God for all our brothers and sisters who are deafened and blinded by their sin. Cry out to God for them, that he will have mercy on them, that he will open their eyes and unstop their ears, that they may hear and see the truth and the love of God. And the gospel for today is the gospel of Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. Can you pray those words and mean them? You want to be forgiven? You want those you love to be forgiven? Look what Jesus says through the Lord's Prayer. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey. I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, don't bother me. The door's already been locked. Children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. So he says, when you have a need, with God or with others, cry out. Keep crying out. He says that man who says he's not going to get up will get up after a while just to shut him up. Oh, God doesn't want to shut us up, or God doesn't get up just because we're crying out to him. But if we persevere and we don't give up, God will hear our prayer. He says, I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God will not only give you the answer to the need you have, he won't just supply the remedy. He will give you of himself. He will give you of his own life to dwell in you more richly, more fully, so that you can follow him more closely, so that you can walk in deeper intimacy with him. God goes way beyond our needs. He allows us to bring our needs to him, and he hears us, and he will answer our needs. But he has so much more in his mercy and in his love, in his kindness. He has so much more to give us than we ever cry out to God for. We just say to ourselves, that's too much. I've asked God before and it didn't happen, and now look what happened. It's worse. God won't answer. For heaven's sakes, brothers and sisters, read through the readings for today. God has mercy. God has mercy. You are baptized in him. You belong to him. In a sense, part of his flesh. Do you not think that he's going to hear our cry? And many times he hears even the deeper cries of our hearts. The cries when we are so badly in need. He hears them. And he doesn't just answer them. I've often found this. I ask God for one thing, and he doesn't give me that, but he gives me something so much better and so much greater than what I ask for. God loves us. I'm even reduced to tears just even talking about it. God loves us. He really does. And sometimes we ask for what is much smaller than what God wants to give. It's so much smaller. And so sometimes he answers the smaller need, sometimes not, but he gives us so much more. Please, out of the grace of your baptism, son or daughter of God, put your trust in him. Ask for what you need. Cry out, and God will hear. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.